Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Berean Bible Fellowship, the program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will get your Bible out and read along with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to read later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
I've shed this corruption and shame. A sweet resurrection.
Are you religious but lost? I wonder if anybody's ever put it that way to you before. You know, being religious never saved anybody. A good case in point would be the nation Israel. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, Israel was about as religious a people as you can imagine. They had the covenants, the law. They had the promises of God. They had the temple and all the worship, all the ceremony, all the feast days. And yet, they were as far from the Lord as maybe some of you are today. Perhaps you've been religious all your life, but you don't have a peace. You don't have the peace in your heart that comes from knowing what's going to happen to you when you die. The Apostle Paul goes on to say there in Romans chapter 10, in verse 2, For I bear them record. And again, he's talking about Israel. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Because of religion, Israel believed that they could gain the righteousness that they needed through keeping commandments. But God's righteousness, it says, they were ignorant of. They didn't understand that according to verse 4 of the same chapter in Romans, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, all that these Israelites needed to do was believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried and raised again the third day for their justification. Perhaps you've been religious, you've been zealous of the Lord, you've worked hard in your church, you've done things for God, attending a service every Sunday. But what do you know about God's righteousness, and how do you get it? Can we gain that righteousness by being religious enough? Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You know, I bet not many religious people believe that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trying so hard to be good. If the Bible tells you there's none good, what would be the point? They would argue, well, you got to keep the commandments. The Bible tells us something about that too in that same chapter of Romans 3. Verse 19 says, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Do you realize that the law wasn't given for you to keep, but rather to show you that you can't? It clearly states that the law was given to stop every mouth and to make all the world to see they're guilty before God, because keeping the law would never justify you. But isn't that what much of religion is seeking to do today? Justify you through your works? Isn't it seeking to justify men through keeping some system of rules or ordinances? Isn't that why a church has their system set up so that you can follow their guidelines and therefore earn your way into heaven? The problem is, it will never work, because that's not what God ordained. Romans 3:21 goes on to say, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isn't that amazing? The righteousness of God without the law. Why then would you need to keep the law to gain God's righteousness if God has provided his righteousness without the law? Verse 22 says it's by the faith of Jesus Christ. Then if it's by the faith of Jesus Christ, religion has nothing to do with it. Verse 28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." You know, the Apostle Paul was a religious man. He wrote in the letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." In other words, Paul was letting you know that as far as the flesh was concerned, that is, his religious accomplishments, he had everything to boast in. In fact, Paul was so zealous as the man Saul of Tarsus, he was persecuting the believers in Jesus Christ, believing he was doing God a favor by having them arrested and in some cases put to death. To this very day, religion seeks to do that very same thing. Yet the Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You know what Paul did? He threw out his religion. He let it go. He counted it but dung. It was of no value to him. The righteousness that he thought he had, he found out was worthless, because the works of the law would never save him. He said he'd kept the law blameless, but that counted for nothing with God. What about you? Have you been religious all your life and trying to gain God's favor, trying to gain God's acceptance, but you've been ignorant of his righteousness? Maybe you're proud of your accomplishments. You've been good, done good by other people. You've treated them right. You've attended your assembly, whatever. But you do not know that if you died today, you'd spend an eternity with the Lord. Oh, you hope you will. You feel like you've been a good person. You're trying hard. None of that matters. What matters is that you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Religious? Nope, that won't get it. You need to become lost right now. You see, Jesus Christ said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That means that we just have to acknowledge the fact that we aren't any good. Paul said in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." When have you come to the point in your life when you realize that you aren't any good? The Bible says there's none good. Oh, I don't mean you never do good things for people. You show kindness from time to time. You get to work on time. You don't cheat, maybe. You don't steal. But if you've been working to gain God's acceptance, you're following in the opposite path of what he said you needed to do. And what you need to do is to trust Jesus Christ. Trust that he did what was necessary to gain your salvation. That's what the Apostle Paul did. The former blasphemer the persecutor, the man responsible for doing injury to the church there at Jerusalem, was the very man who was so religious and so full of zeal that his zeal drove him to do those things. And yet he said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul committed his salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. He counted his religion dung. He counted all his self-righteousness as nothing. He let go of everything religious that he knew in his life, and he committed his salvation to the Lord. He quit trying, and he trusted. Why don't you do that? Why don't you today quit trying to be something that you can never be in the flesh? If there's none good, if there's none that doeth good, if there's none righteous, then why don't you admit that you are in that number and get lost right now so that you can be saved? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Are you a whosoever? Then you can be saved. As you listen to the song, think about all the religious things you've been trying to do and compare them to what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary's cross.
You can fall upon your knees, lift your hands up to the King over and over again. Feed the hungry, help the poor, give till you can give no more to pay for. Righteous for the lost, can you walk the path that led to Calvary? Where every step he took for me.
Yes, indeed, Jesus Christ did take those footsteps for you. He took the footsteps that you couldn't take. He went to that cross for you and died for you because you, nor I, nor anybody else in this world would ever be religious enough, good enough, righteous enough to please Almighty God. Remember what we read back in Romans chapter 3, verse 21? But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. God put no other requirement on there for you to receive his righteousness than to believe. The verses go on to say in 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That word redemption means that Jesus Christ paid the price in full with his own shed blood. Verse 25 goes on to say, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Believe, believe, believe. Over and over again, believe. There was a big $10 word in there, verse 25. Propitiation. That means satisfactory sacrifice. That means that God was satisfied with the payment for sin that Jesus Christ made for you. What are you doing trying to continue to pay a debt that's already been paid? To do so is to imply that what Jesus Christ did at Calvary is not sufficient, that somehow some religious work is needed to complete the payment. Well, then he wouldn't be the propitiation, would he? The only way you can follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ is to follow him through Paul. I've mentioned Paul several times today in our lesson. You know that Paul called himself the apostle of the Gentiles? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. There are those who claim to be following Jesus Christ, but you can't do in the flesh what Jesus Christ did in his earthly ministry. We'll talk about in the coming weeks the things Jesus Christ revealed to Paul to give to us Gentiles, things that concern a mystery. But for now, suffice it to say that in order for you to do the things that Jesus Christ would have you do, he would have you believe on him, trust that he died for your sins, was buried and raised again. Paul was given that gospel, the gospel of your salvation. A man in the book of Acts approached Paul and asked him what he must do to be saved. Do you know Paul never told him? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? That Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary. The sinless, perfect Son of God put to death in the place of this individual and in the place of you and me. No, you can't do anything to be saved, but you can trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you realize that Jesus Christ became the sin that you are, the sin that I am on that cross? God made him to be our sin in order that he could pay the wages of sin, which is death. He died on the cross and paid for your sin in full. There's nothing left to do. You can believe on Jesus Christ and God will put to your account his righteousness. The word the Bible uses is impute. God will impute his righteousness unto you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, being religious is never going to gain you the righteousness that you seek. But you need the righteousness of God in order to be saved eternally. You can gain that righteousness no other way than in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Aren't you ready to put your pride away? Aren't you ready to stop trying to play a religious game? When was the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I already mentioned to you that in Romans chapter 10, Paul wrote that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When did you call upon the name of the Lord? I'm not talking about the date on the calendar. I'm talking about the day. We remember our wedding day. Sometimes we forget the date, but the day was a special day. It was a day filled with perhaps nervousness or maybe just joy, the happiness of being wed to that person we cared so much about that we wanted to spend the rest of our lives with them. It was an important day in our lives. Shouldn't the day of your salvation be important too? You may not remember the date, but you remember the day, if you're saved, that you realized you were a lost sinner, hell-bound, and you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You asked God to save you. If you cannot remember such a day, may I suggest to you that you're probably lost? Being lost isn't my way of saying that you're just an evil, wicked person. It doesn't matter anyway, because the Bible says there is none good. Being lost simply means that you recognize the fact that nothing you can do in your flesh is going to gain your entrance into heaven. Being lost means admitting that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. If you can't remember that day, that time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, after you became lost and understood your condition and realized that if you don't put your salvation and commit your salvation into the hands of the Lord, that you're going to just bust hell wide open, because nothing you could ever do would be good enough to gain God's righteousness, and you just trusted Jesus Christ right then to save you, why don't you do it right now? Do you realize that you don't have to go anywhere, do anything, walk some aisle, carry out some ordinance or some ritual? You don't have to do anything but believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you call on the Lord right now, He'll save you. And there's nothing I can do to help you with that, other than to tell you what I've already said. The gospel of Christ is the good news of your salvation. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Do you know what the gospel of Christ is? You will find the gospel of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. If you have a pen or pencil, write that down. You need to mark in your Bible the gospel of your salvation so that you could turn to it. I'm going to read it to you now. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Believing in vain would be believing in Jesus Christ historically, having a head knowledge of Him, but not having trusted in what He did for you at the cross. And what was that? Verse 3 continues, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's it. It's that simple. Why would you try to complicate it with religious works? Why don't you simply trust that Jesus Christ died for your sins? As the old song says, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow." Do you want to have your sins forgiven? They've already been paid for. You just need to believe on Jesus Christ so that God's righteousness can be imputed unto you. The only thing standing in the way between you and eternity is you. Don't let your pride, your arrogance, your religiousness keep you from believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Trust Him right now. Don't put it off another minute. Don't you want the peace that comes from knowing that you will spend eternity with Jesus Christ at the right hand of God in heaven forever and ever? You can have that peace right now and never worry again about whether or not you'd make it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 on KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Berean Bible Fellowship. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program. You can write to me, Brother Scott Mitchell, at Berean Bible Fellowship, that's B-E-R-E-A-N, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. Call me if you need more information at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.
Precious to